Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Weekly, we are brought to you by AllAccessMMA.com. Check out AllAccessMMA.com for our video podcast, MMA news, and MMA stories. Ed, got some sad news. I know you wanted to get out about a fighter we've chatted about quite a bit, and you've interviewed on multiple occasions. So why don't you take this opportunity to inform our listeners on what's going on the West Coast out here of the Northwest Coast in the MMA world.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have heard by now, but Chris Lencioni, you know, he was training for Bellator 298 and had a cardiac incident that put him in the ICU, and he was pretty much in a coma. He seems to be coming around now. The video circulated around today, and you know, the MMA fighting has a lot of details about it, but they do have the link to his GoFundMe, because the thing about, you know, people talk about fighter pay and all this stuff, and the health, being able to provide for their families and their own well-being. Excuse me. You know, they his wife has a GoFundMe set up. Let me just bring it up on screen. So I'm going to drop that link in the podcast description, just because, and it'll be there like on this episode and every other episode until at least he starts getting on his feet or they hit their goal, just because, watching that clip today of him coming out of everything, really kind of messed with me. So, I donated some money on behalf of us here at Combat Hour. If you guys can help out Chris and his family to get through this. This is the GoFundMe link and the images, so you can see. Marka, his wife, has it up. I mean, they're up to, the goal is 250,000, and they're up to like 41,000 now. So again, today they showed it's over like the beginning of the month it happened, and you know, he was supposed to be fighting James Gallagher, and I know the Bellator got another opponent for him, and Bellator, if you read the MMA fighting piece before folks want to jump down Bellator and ask if they're not helping out or helping or not helping or whatever the case is, his wife said that they have been supportive, and she didn't mention anything financially, but I'm sure she wouldn't have said that if, you know, they weren't helping out. So if you could help out Chris and drop throw a couple of bucks in the GoFundMe, that's in the podcast link, and this is the page that it'll take you to, so you know you're donating to the right thing. By all means, you know, do that, and you know, we'd appreciate it. I'm sure, and I know the Lencioni family will appreciate it. It's just he's it's not like we're best friends or anything, but he's always been open to communication. And like you said, if you go down the list of the fighter interviews or the YouTube, sometimes we do the interviews based on different time. There's clips of him where I've spoken to him about his fights, and you know, he took that break from MMA to do some combat jiu-jitsu and started his own business, and you know, became a dad. You know, he's a relatively new father, and then he got back. You know, he re-signed with Bellator, and you know, just as things seem to keep moving forward for him, he's about to fight this high profile guy and he's getting ready for it, and you know, this happens. What he had was called something called low QT, that nothing came up on any of his physicals, and that's what kind of messed him up, and so he's gonna need a lot of therapy. Thank God he's still with us, but I just wanted to, I mean, again, we donated money on behalf of the podcast, and I just feel like you know, with all the links that we drop in our descriptions and stuff, I figured, you know, enough people do follow the podcast and see that stuff. If they could help him out and drop, you know, help out the family, it'd be good to do. And you know, again, you know, he's, I know some folks don't like, the way his gamesmanship, for fights. I actually found it amusing. He's a funny guy. He's a very witty guy, but he's also, you know, he's a really good jiu-jitsu, part of the jiu-jitsu community out by UMet. I had a friend that actually was training with him that moved out there and was training with him for a while and had to move back to Jersey because of COVID. And we literally never knew about it until my buddy came back. And I messaged him and I was like, hey, Chris, I was like, one of your students is actually a guy that I train with. This guy, we called him Preacher Bobby because he's actually an actual preacher. So we called him Preacher Bobby. And he was like, oh, you know, he always just called him Bobby, but he was like, I wish I knew that when he was out here. And I was like, yeah. And so it's just seeing him today, like recovering, but I guess I'm getting emotional in my old age. So wanted to put that in there. I put that out there. So again, if you guys can help out, please do so. The GoFundMe link will be in the podcast description until they hit their goal or Lencioni gets back to his old self.
Yeah, and whether you can donate or not, maybe even share the link. Sharing the link amongst social media. Let's help get this thing passed around and see what we can do to help out somebody who, put his life on the line to entertain us and, between submission grappling and obviously his mixed martial arts, and most of us are familiar with Bellator. So, mm-hmm. Best to him, and hopefully we see a recovery and a turnaround for the best in that situation. Now, I guess on a lighter note, we're gonna kind of make fun of some of the stuff that we always ask anybody listening that we're breaking balls and not afraid to talk down some of the nonsense we see.
Of all the news trending today, you would think that would helping out a fighter would be some of it, but no. I don't even know what's number it, today. It seems like if you're an MMA fan and you're watching the news, yeah, it's either shit Sean Strickland said or Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg. So I don't know. I don't know anymore, dude.
Sean Strickland's so far off my radar, other than just seeing some clips and kind of chuckling because it's so odd to hear somebody nowadays kind of talking the way he does. He sounds like, we used to hear that a lot in the 90s, and people could kind of, I'm not that what he's saying is right, because I'm not defending what he's saying, but there was a time when you could kind of talk like that and it was a little more accepted.
It's funny because like his media days, it's literally like I'm thinking of, because I was a fan of Dice back in the day, Andrew Dice Clay. I still am a fan, you know what I mean. And I'm just like, I'm getting like this. I'm like, okay, he's doing this shock. You give him a mic on media day. Literally everyone's seen what he said today, because every major MMA outlet has shared the clips of all the stuff he said. And he knows what he's doing. Like not for nothing. Again, it's the shock value is what brings him eyeballs, brings his attention, and it raises his value in the sport. And I mean, and he still goes in there and fights. So, I guess that's all relevant to.
Yeah. To, I mean, it's not his fights that are making him famous right now. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. his fights have been not really rewatchable fights, last handful, unless he's getting, KO'd. But that aside, you got the Zuckerberg Musk thing. I don't even know what to think anymore. It's like we get fed daily just this wild, I think it'd be fun to see happen. I don't know. I would love to see it happen somewhere else besides the UFC. Like if they wanted to try to like raise, like what kind of goldmine would that be for a smaller promotion, mm-hmm. to have something like that where they literally could change multiple people's lives by simply putting that on, something like that. And that's wishful thinking. That's perfect world shit.
However, I mean, whatever they do, they both said they do it for, the charity of choice or whatever, but even still, like, first of all, I mean, there was a time when we were full on believed that Mayweather McGregor would never happen, and it happened. And, so I don't put anything, especially with all the YouTube boxing events and God knows what the fuck else goes on. I mean, slap fighting is happening. So
that's the only reason that makes me believe it was happened, because prior to that, I would have said, really, can like a 45-year-old, well, I don't know exactly how old Musk is, but I think he's in his mid-40s. Can a 45-year-old man with no combat experience get a combat license in Nevada? And then you've got guys that are, you know, whatever, you know, Sears Tower mic or whatever that are, you know, slap biting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I don't know, but I think it's so funny that they start talking about charity and then instantly you hear Dana White chime in with money signs in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like, it's like, come on, dude. Like, charity, you think there's any chance Dana White lets a single fan in that arena for free?
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, money's going to be made somewhere. Like, they'll donate a portion to charity, some large portion, but behind the, you know, under the table and all the other deals and side deals going on, like, there's money that people are going to walk home with money in their pockets that are in charitable need of it. But the other thing too is like Lex Friedman, like, training with them both and posting up the images and stuff like that, just to see, you know, Mark Zuckerberg he's you know, got the jiu-jitsu bug, so he's just like every other guy that started jiu-jitsu and into it, and, you know, watching technique videos and all the shit that new guys that are fresh into jiu-jitsu do. And you know, so, and he's young and he's competed, and so there's folks that are siding with him because he's got a submission grappling advantage. But I think Musk has like a judo and Tang Sudo background or something of that nature, and old man strength. So it's like
much
there's
bigger. He's much bigger too.
Yeah, and I know there's odds already, and on like BetOnline AG and a bunch of other places are mentioning the odds for that. And I'm just like, dude, how? I mean, COVID's like pretty much over. Are we still this bored that we're entertaining? Like this. They're not going to fight. The rich people don't fight. Like, not for nothing.
It doesn't make any sense for it to happen. It's just I don't even know what it is. I don't even know. I'd love to know where the rumor even started from it. But yeah, it's I don't know. I don't think it happens.
No,
I don't.
You know, there's I made a joke when it first started, and I talked about this. There's like a scene, a couple scenes in the movie Game Night where this guy talks about underground fight clubs, and it's like, you know, rich people paying like poor people to fight each other. And I was like, it would be because that's pretty much what the UFC is now. And I was like, it'd be a nice change if it would be a really nice change if, you know, these two billionaires fought each other for charity, because it would be a nice flip of the script to see something like that happen. And have all that money that, you know, the billions and trillions of dollars that whatever they're making now, because, you know, the UFC is worth so much now, and they do it under their banner. It would be nice to have it kind of done for people that, you know, that can't even afford to go to an event, which is a lot of people these days. But you know what I mean? Like it's crazy. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, that's the events they let people into. I mean, mm-hmm. We heard Kevin Lee today. Mm-hmm. Not too happy to be
back at the Apex once again.
Back to the Apex. It's gonna make him feel like that Eagle FC, you know, Flex Arena crowd was really, you know, that was like Thunderdome compared to mm-hmm. what he's going into.
And he said something similar too. He's like, I'll go and bleed for these rich people or something along those lines. And I was just like, man, he's a brave man. People were joking around that we'll see him with the red X on his name for the UFC roster watch after this event, because this is him coming back to the UFC after, you know, doing those fights like that at the Flex. And I think he did one of those other ones, the ones that are on YouTube that are really good. I already forgot the name. The name escapes me for now, but yeah.
XMMA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember if he did or not. I do remember, though, specifically the Diego Sanchez and mm-hmm. fight in Eagle FC. But yeah, I mean, you know me, I've spouted a million times my disdain for the Apex and how much I think the sport really is built around the live audience, and you know how it always has kind of been the case. It always was the case. I mean, you know, when there weren't enough fans to be there, the UFC was begging for fans to show up, and now there's more fans than they can even sell tickets to, and they're not even giving people the opportunity to mm-hmm. experience it. And I know I hear a lot of people say, you know, well, nobody would want to pay for that fight card. Well, there's a lot of people who would like to pay $60 to go to an MMA event mm-hmm. and not have to pay $600 mm-hmm. to go to a big Vegas event. You know, that was the whole allure about a lot of fight nights and stuff like that, is that you could go sit a decent seat for, you know, a fifth of the price of what it would cost you to go to Vegas or to go to New York or, you know, and maybe even a fifth might be generous. But, you know, so that's something I don't, you know, but I don't think they'd be putting on some of these weak-ass fight cards if they had a crowd to be attending, you know? Like, they're just taking advantage of the quota of filling out the ESPN quota and putting cards on. And, I mean, if you don't, if your attitude is, well, we couldn't sell enough seats to watch, you know, Holly Holm fight, you know, the next one, you know, like who, you know, then why are you putting it on TV? You know, it sounds to me like you're just kind of cashing it in at that point. I don't even.
Well, think they just want to fulfill their contractual obligation with ESPN. I mean, that's been on. You can read any of the Forbes reports or anything about their deal with, you know, or any interview that Ari Emanuel has done when he talks about how the UFC, this whole deal with ESPN has saved Endeavor from, you know, the rough time they would have had with COVID and everything. So it's definitely on the flip side, you know, because I always like to look at stuff from both sides. I understand that if I'm on the UFC's end, if I'm the businessman, of course, yes, I want to fulfill my contractual obligations so I can get paid. That's for sure.
But they can, like we've stated, they could easily have it at other arenas around Vegas. They could, you know, LA's not far, San Diego's not far. You know, there's a lot of locations from their headquarters in Las Vegas.
But that's the thing, though. It's all. There is a lot of locations, but there's money to, you know, like to book the Garden. There's money that they have to pay, and that's the thing. The Apex it's all in house. I mean, Dana White said it himself. It's his equivalent of working from home in his pajamas for him, you know.
Yeah, but
I mean?
He doesn't brag about the gate events for the Apex events. You don't hear him say, "Hey, we made $886 today." You know, like that's suddenly it's a big deal. It's a big deal how much money you make when fans can attend an event, but then, you know, 6 out of 10 events, or you know, probably more. I think it's 70% or 80% at this point, are in a locked garage, you know, where only people who can afford to spend $500 plus can even flirt with the idea of going to watch a card that, other than maybe one or two fights, is essentially no different than what you would get at the Brawl in the Berg, or you know, shout out to 247 Fighting Championship, or you know, King of the Cage, or you know, any of your solid local regional promotions. You know, I mean, that's essentially what they are. And I've always bothered me because I feel like it's robbing from those organizations. You're taking talent, which is just watering down from top to bottom, you know. So anyways, but, you know, there's a little bitch for the week. But the good news is we do have a good fight card coming up for International Fight Week, July 8th. Due to some maintenance work for Spotify next Wednesday, Spotify will be down, so we're going to be take off the week for the 4th of July. So Ed had the great idea of let's jump ahead and cross our fingers that half of these fights don't get canceled. But
we'll be doing our UFC 290 preview now. I mean, International Fight Week. I wrote something about this on for Sure Dog years ago, and you've lived it. We've both lived it technically. You know, it is notoriously snake bit. But then it just kind of, when COVID happened, it kind of just extended to all UFC events, you know, with them losing fighters and cards getting shorter. So, I mean, again, it's the Wednesday, the week before International Fight Week, June 28th right now. So we're going to bring up the card, but if you listen to this and it's clubs, you know, and it's like July 7th and shit has fallen apart, odds will change, you know, whatever. Don't hold it against us. We're actually too poor to go. So we're doing this freestyle so we can take off next week, and that way you guys have your content at least for International Fight Week. But I do like this card.
No, the main card's good. Prelims have some good names. I think
Robbie Lawler's getting a Hall of Fame induction that week too, and he's fighting on the cards. That's pretty cool, right? Isn't he getting inducted for something?
His fight with Rory McDonald, UFC 189.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I that slipped my mind. So, I mean, it bothers me to see Robbie Lawler on a prelim. I feel like that's.
But he's a featured prelim, at least. I mean, it's on ABC. Everyone can see it.
You're right. You're right. It's probably better for him as far as being seen, and his friends and family don't have to spend $70 to watch him fight. He can they can hopefully, you know, celebrate a win. He's got a tough fight with Nico Price, but
I won't be surprised if they bump him up on Fight Week. If they bump him up to here, where Bo Nickel and Trayshawn, sorry.
I'm assuming too, but I'm gonna go Trayshawn. Bo Nickel. The weird thing is, what's wrong with me?
I turned it to you this week talking about Tracy.
Yeah, you know, the world's upside down stuff, right? I'm sure I'll screw something up in the next 5 minutes here to even it out, but Bo Nickel, Trayshawn Gore, like I said, Robbie Lawler, Nico Price on the prelims. Sean Brady, Jack De La Maddalena, another great fight.
This is a good fight too.
Jimmy weird rematch, coming off a draw, but I mean, the pay per view kicks off according to this right now. I've seen some different bout orders, so I don't know exactly if our order is accurate.
Yeah, were you looking at the UFC website, which is. You know, we've had fun with their accuracy before, so.
But, you know, I mean, I think that let's assume Bo Nickel and Gore kick off the main card. I think I think most fans probably can kind of see this for what it is. You got 4-0 Bo Nickel against 4-2 Gore. Gore 1-2 in his last three fights. Nickel a minus 1,200 favorite. So obviously, people are seeing that. Yeah. I mean, Nickel's last fight, I thought it was a squash match. He had a little more trouble than with his opponent than I think most people expected. He did end up finishing him, although there was some controversy from a low blow that the referee was not able to see, which didn't immediately lead to the end of the fight, but certainly didn't help at any point. So. I think it's a showcase fight for him. I think they're, you know, I think we get probably two more of these, and then all of a sudden you'll see him getting hyped up as the next, you know, in a big, big fight.
Yeah. I mean, the weight class, it'd be interesting to see, if they start putting him like closer to, you know, doing fights to get ranked, you know, if he gets the Alex Pereira treatment I'd like to see him in Khamzat. I mean, people, you know, they're kind of like putting the same hype behind him almost. So I'd like to see him in Khamzat. I know he's mentioned him in fighting Khamzat, but anyway, as far as this fight, I mean, you know, given what I've seen, because I saw his Icon fights too, you know, before he did the Contender Series, and I mean, his wrestling pedigree. I mean, the one thing I'll say about him, and you know, somebody asked a question on social media today, talking about the future of, and it was actually another fighter that asked, an Irish fighter, I forget her name, but she asked a really good question, like, what do you see the future of MMA being? And she listed three categories, and she was like, you know, the specialist that comes from one style that they dominate, and they come into mixed martial arts and do well there, which is kind of like what you and I have always seen, you know, for as long as we've been watching it. The second one, I forget what the second one was. It was something ridiculous.
Oh, athletes, I think. I did see that tweet.
Oh, athletes from other sports, yeah. And then the third one was, you know, like the new age, guys like Austin Bashy, who I just talked to, Robbie Ring, who's fighting, you know, the new age MMA fighter, which I shouldn't say Robbie Ring is part of that category because he's got a a traditional background that mixed together. That's for another podcast. But
I kids who grew up in MMA gyms. Started training MMA at 4 years old.
Bo Nickel technically fits the first category because he's, you know, coming from wrestling and adding things to the toolbox. And wrestlers, I mean, I think we've already seen there's Excel spreadsheets from the nerdy MMA fans out there that show that wrestlers are the ones that are kind of doing long-term overall well in the sport. So I don't see him not winning this fight.
No. I think he wins this fight. I think he's sets himself. I mean, we got to see him get punched really hard in the face. We've mm-hmm. said it a million times. You know, like, it's easy to be a good front runner, but where are you at when you suffer mm-hmm. your first loss? Where are you at when you get cut real bad? And where are mm-hmm. you at when somebody puts you on the floor? You know, do you, you know, what's your reaction? What's your body's reaction to that mm-hmm. stuff? Some guys are cyborgs, you know, other guys.
Yeah. Well, he's an active, you know, it's not like Brock Lesnar who wrestled and then did WWE and then got into fighting. There's that gap of where he's not clashing into another human being. Bo Nickel has always been doing that. So I don't see him getting, you know, like I know what you're saying though. Like if he gets hit hard by like, you know, Anatoly Malkin from One Championship hits him, we'll see how he handles that. Shout out to Malkin
for winning. I can tell you how he handles that. He ends up out cold based on what we've seen from the champ over there at One right now.
That guy's a monster. But let's get back to this one. Thank God he got rid of that that Arjun Bular guy, because that was shenanigans over at One. But anyway, Jalen Turner versus Dan Hooker.
Turner coming off a loss to Gamrot. Hooker, tough run over his last six or seven fights. Fighting the, you know, always fighting top competition, but you know, kind of the sidekick in a back and forth fight. You know, but not necessarily the main actor mm-hmm. or the leading role. I think Jalen Turner wins this fight. I think he's on the way up. I think Hooker has kind of becoming maybe a gatekeeper in a sense for, like, I don't even know what he'd be a gatekeeper for. Maybe a gatekeeper for the top 10, somewhere in that range. But I think Turner, you know, Gamrot was able to take him down and control him on the ground and kind of take a couple rounds from him. I don't think he has that risk at all with Hooker. I expect this to be a stand and bang. And if you've watched Jalen Turner fight, you know, he's tall, lanky, mm-hmm. and he's got a lot of sharp points on his body. You know what I mean? So, like, I think he'll be able to use, you know, the teep kick and his, you know, maybe elbows and knees and really be able to do some damage. You know, it looks like he's got the reach, you know, arm reach, he's got leg reach, and his height, he's got 3 inches on Hooker, according to the 6'3". So I think he's just going to look like the bigger dude in there. And I think he's going to be able to, without a fear of a takedown, I think he'll be able to kind of release all of his weapons. And I think he just has the ability to really hurt somebody. I mean, he showed it. So I think that, you know, Hooker wear you down and hurts you, but I think Turner can really, you know, with a light switch can change the momentum of a fight within, you know, with multiple different strikes.
You make a lot of interesting points. It's hard to disagree with you. However, I do feel, and this is, maybe it's just my old man fight fan mind, but I'm not ready to bet against Dan Hooker yet. I know, yet, you know, I know everything you said is sound, but I feel like if
he, what are the odds on it?
It's
okay, so 2-1 favorite for Turner, mm-hmm. plus 180 for correct odds in my mind. I mean, that's where I'm placing it. I don't think it's going to be a boat race. You know, I think that Turner, I see him hitting him with like an elbow, maybe against the cage or something, and leading to demise. So something like that. That's kind of how I see it. But you know, but Hooker's got the you know experience as far as
I would do the underdog bet if it was me. But so that's my pick. But I don't disagree with you about Turner. I mean, if Turner wins, obviously, you know, I'm not going to be surprised. This fight is interesting to me. This middle fight, middleweight bout with Robert Whittaker and Dricus du Plessis.
There you go. Yeah.
Why don't they have his last fight on here?
It was obviously a win, but yeah. They forgot it. They missed it on the spreadsheet. Yeah, I mean, I'm going with Whittaker. I would like Duplessis. Part of me, I want him to win because there is that kind of backstory already created with him and Adesanya. And
yeah,
you know, you know, I need some drama occasionally nowadays to get hyped up for a fight, you know, and there's no, you know, there's bad blood between them, but it's not, you know, at least we haven't got to the point yet where it's so over the top where we're pushing boundaries that are not needed to be touched. But there is something there. There's a, you know, so it'd be an easy fight to make. And sell if you were to win this fight. But I think Whitaker wins. I think Whitaker is the second best middleweight. You know, we'll see what Chimaev, where he becomes or what Nickel. But I think right now Whitaker is the second, you know, if Bahia is at 185, maybe we're like 1A, 1 or, you know, 2A, 2B kind of thing behind Adesanya. But I thought Whitaker won his last fight without Adesanya. So there's a lot of me that thinks like he's kind of the uncrowned champion at this point. At least, you know, if he had won on the scorecards the way I saw the fight. I think he wins this fight. I think he wins it pretty easily, actually. I think we might be looking at like a late second, even early third round finish when Duplessis kind of gasses out and the adrenaline kind of wears off and he realizes he's in there with a killer in Robert Whittaker.
Yeah. Joseph Correa just dropped a really nice comment. He's my old boss from Proof Media. Shout out to Coast for providing high quality combat sports content and commentary. Thank you, Joseph, man. Yeah. We got to get you on here for especially when that July 29th fight night where everything is happening. We got to try to get you on here before then, before that the Spence Crawford fight, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We got, because you're the only boxing guy from all the boxing people I've worked with that hasn't been on here yet. But anyway, for this one, man, I'm definitely in agreement with you for Robert Whittaker. If Duplessis does well here, obviously then, you know, all you got to stop doubting the guy or do whatever, because I know folks have a problem with him in this fight, but I mean, like you said, it'd be, if he does win, then that's the fight to him and Adesanya are definitely the fight to make, because there's a, again, the storylines behind it. But Whitaker's, you know, the former champion and the guy, even though he's got Duplessis has a height and reach advantage over him, but it doesn't, from what we've seen of Whitaker, it doesn't matter so much against a guy like Whitaker, because he's just been proven to be such a great mixed martial artist. You know, he was a brown belt when he had his whole rivalry, those fights with Adesanya in jiu-jitsu. I'm sure he's probably gotten better since then. So on the ground, he's probably a problem for Duplessis, and I'm pretty sure he knows how to work his angles when they cross hands and stuff like that. So yeah, -360 for Whitaker. He's the favorite as of right now for that fight. I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the fight of the night categories. However, when you go to the co-main event, I mean, it's kind of hard not to see this fight delivering for the fans as well. Brandon Moreno versus Alexandre Pantoja, who I know he's got some history with.
He's got two wins over Moreno.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one was the Ultimate Fighter, but he finished him on the Ultimate Fighter in the second round. And then he won a decision in an actual UFC bout. So, I mean, you know, my brain says everything says Moreno based off what we've seen recently, but you're fighting a dude who's beat you twice. You know what I mean? Like, Pantoja is not going to have, he's not going to have any kind of, you know, I mean, what your attitude and your mentality going into that fight's got to be strong as hell when you've beat a guy twice and you finished him once. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to come into this fight fearing the unknown. You're not going to come into this fight fearing the competitor. Obviously you might be fearing for your life because you're fighting in a cage, but I don't think he's going to have that. There's not going to be a mystique around Moreno that I don't think is going to throw Pantoja off. I am going to pick Moreno. He's the champ. I think when he won that title And when he kind of came around and developed into what he has become, mm-hmm. I think he gained like another level, you know, on video game. He became like the master, you know, grand champion kind of level thing, you know, whereas, and it gave him that extra boost of, you know, ability points, you know, like suddenly now he's, you know, he got that title and gained that confidence and really just understood maybe what he is as a fighter and what mm-hmm. he's capable of. So I think he wins this fight, but Pantoja, I mean, like you said, he's beat Moreno twice. He beat Royval. I mean, he's got a hell of a resume, you know, 25-5. You know, like he's beat a who's who of that division. So
yeah, that's going to be, if anything, like my reason, if I had the money to go to this, or that would be, this is the fight that sells me to. I mean, this is why I'm not that to take away from the main event or any of the other fights on the card. But, you know, obviously, if you listen to this podcast, you know, I'm what the kids call a Moreno stan. So I mean, they have him as minus odds 170.
Odds are close.
Yeah.
Odds are close. 170 to plus 145 is. You know, that's not far off. And honestly, you know, I know it's against your pick here, but mm-hmm. a Hooker Pantoja parlay is two underdogs that are both in play. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's not, not the worst bet in the world if you're looking for some value over guys that are considered to be really, you know, to consider to put up a fight. Let's put it that way. They're not at those odds. You're not looking at a first round knockout, at least on the book's mind. They're thinking this fight's going to go on for a while. Five round fight. I mean, the likelihood is it goes the whole decision. I mean, that's the likelihood. Moreno could finish it, you know.
Well, because they're both better than they were since the last time they fought. They're mm-hmm. both miles better than they were since the last time they fought. So, like you said, these odds are, I think the odds are fair. Why wouldn't you favor the champion? But yeah, I'm looking really, really looking forward to that one. This one, my favorite fighter.
Unification bout. Alexander Volkanovski and Yair Rodriguez. Yeah. The one Mexican you're not a big fan of. but, you know, not because of his fighting style per se, but just because of his ability to go AWOL at times.
Jesus Christ. I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised. If this fight is not the one that fought, I would like to see odds on this fight, you know, making it to fight week. That's what I would like to see. But, you know, he seemed unscathed and he came out of the last fight successfully, won. That's how he got that belt, and that's why it's happening. So,
I mean, just cutting right to it, I think Volkanovski destroys him.
Oh yeah,
I think he, especially Volkanovski coming off that loss to Makhachev, where he's kind of, and I said this, I don't know, I'm sure I said it on this podcast, but I definitely said it on the Living Death Show with our boys over there, that like the story of that Makhachev fight will really kind of be told the next fight. Like mm-hmm. we got to see where both of them. Like what it does to both of them.
That's a really good point,
rebound here, because if Volkanovski rebounds here and finishes Rodriguez in a couple rounds, then that Makhachev fight becomes like nothing in his resume. Nobody will mm-hmm. ever even, it won't even be talked about. It'll be, hey, he challenged himself, he lost, no harm, no foul. But if he loses this fight, then suddenly you go, okay, did that start a losing streak? Mm-hmm. Was that the top of the pinnacle? Did Makhachev take his quote-unquote soul? Mm-hmm. You know, like, it adds more to it. Plus, for Makhachev, if you know, he kind of gains either way. He can be looked at the guy who killed Volkanovski.
Yeah.
Or if Volkanovski goes through and runs through Yair Rodriguez, it just makes his resume look better because now he's got to win over a guy who is clearly the, you know, the best featherweight in the world. So I think Volkanovski destroys him. I really kind of do, but I also have underrated Rodriguez in at least his last fight or two. So I think he's too one dimensional. I think Volkanovski will actually take this fight to the ground and not stand in front of a spinning Rodriguez.
A spinning Rodriguez. That's good. I see like when Remember when Rodriguez fought Frankie Edgar and Frankie Edgar ran through him? That's what I see Volkanovski doing.
That's the go-to, but I always try to wonder, well, is that the fluke fight now? Because, like, I bring that up a lot of times, and then he goes out there and he kicks somebody in the face and, you know, or he destroys somebody. You know what I mean? So,
like, there's some Matrix shit, whatever. But still, it's still like you know, we were talking about actually, you know, after I do my class on Tuesdays with the guys I train with, that also, you know, we always talk fights because they know I do this podcast and that I cover the sport. And they're like, you know, when we were talking about it, we were just like, you know, yeah, it's 145 and it's Rodriguez with all the fucking blade shit that he does. And but Volkanovski, you know, he's a former rugby player that played when he was an athletic 220 pounds and he fights at featherweight now. I see him. I could see him running straight through this glass man.
Yeah. So okay, well, you're taking it farther than I am. I don't refer to him as glass man. I just don't think he has. I think Volkanovski's got the tools to beat him and be.
That's crazy that Volkanovski, we'd have to look at other numbers, but on the UFC.com website for this matchup, which displays no odds, oddly enough, they have Volkanovski with a half-inch reach advantage, but he's 5'6", and you know, Rayo Rodriguez is 5'11". He's as tall as me, so I'm just like, you know, if that little half-inch matters, then, I mean, Volkanovski, I mean, he's obviously prepares well. Tough as nails. I don't see him losing.
Volkanovski's 5'6" with a 6-foot wingspan. Like that. I wasn't aware of that. I gotta see that.
Yeah. McGregor's got a wide wingspan for a guy his size. So people are different. Matt.
McGregor's not 5'6" though.
No, I know.
I'm just saying that's great. And it would explain a lot. I mean, that's a huge, obviously, asset to fighting. I wasn't aware that he had.
When you think about his fights and you look at him, it doesn't look like it. Certainly doesn't look like it in this photo. But again,
no, in the photo, it makes it look like Yair's got the long arms.
Yeah.
You know, but
who knows?
Maybe who knows? But it is a good fight. Maybe his numbers are wrong. It's a good fight. It's a good fight card. We should be happy when we get fight cards like this.
Yeah.
The crowd will obviously be super psyched. I have a bunch of fight acquaintances and friends who will still be out there while I can't be or chose not to be. I don't want to say I can't be, but I chose not to attend this event and pull my Band-Aid off so that I didn't have every year to be like, I gotta go. I need to end the streak of
going to 10, every single international fight.
11 years, I think.
Yeah.
11 years in a row. So
yeah, for folks that listen to this, but me and Matt met at International Fight Week.
Yeah.
I have 2016. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have a long history of International Fight Week from charging the stage at Joe Rogan and getting roasted by him to meeting you to just more stories than I can even tell, and some that I wouldn't even want to tell on the podcast. But fun time. So any of my friends that are out there listening that are going to be out there, I hope you guys have a great time at the fights in a week and a half, and hopefully all these fights hold together. And
should. You're not going to be there, so maybe they will.
Yep. Just remember, if you're gonna get in a line to meet a fighter, grab a beer. That's maybe grab two, but yeah.
You're gonna need it
because you're gonna have time to drink them. Oh shit. All right. Well, that'll wrap us up for this week. Again, we're gonna be off next week celebrating the fourth week, and along with some maintenance here at Spotify. But fans can check us out between now and then at Twitter, on Twitter, at Combat Hour, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbizol on Twitter, Carbeersol on Instagram, Old Head Carb on Twitch. And again, you can check us out weekly at allaccessmma.com. Check out allaccessmma.com for a video podcast, MMA news, and MMA stories. Thank you for the comments, Joseph. Hopefully we can line you up for that big boxing match and weekend of chaos at the end of July. And
oh my God. Yeah,
we'll get it out. That's a lot to look forward to. There won't be a lot of negativity on that week.
No, there's so much going on for that week. So
I'm excited for it, and it's a month off. So have a good night, everyone. Everybody enjoy your 4th. Be safe. Let's all come back with the same amount of fingers we went into the week with, and everybody enjoy the holiday. Thanks for listening.
Peace.